Hi everybody, this is Troy, your resident host and Michael channel for truthloveenergy.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm really excited to share this podcast, which is a recording from Michael Speaks when we were in Atlanta, Georgia, of February 2006. And the reason why this was kind of exciting to share is because it was a sort of spontaneously organized gathering that was not only generated but hosted by Catherine and Joe, two wonderful Michael students. And the timing must have been just right because a lot of people came from around the country to participate. And it wasn't even so much having dialogue and interaction with Michael or even about the Michael teachings that made the gathering so special, but that the actual students coming together with such big hearts and open minds and loving souls coming together in one place was a really great experience. I have to say it was one of my favorite highlights from this lifetime. And not so much about anything specific that happened, but just because of the way I felt. One of the things that I left with was a feeling of being healed of something I didn't even know I needed to have healed. So it was a pretty great experience for most of us. And so I just want to thank everyone who did participate. And I also am very happy to be able to have this technology to be able to share with those of you who weren't able to go. Because one of the things that I find to be the most important about the work I do and the work that's offered from Michael is that it's shared as freely as possible without harming our well-being, of course. So this is for all of you who weren't able to make it, and this is a great opportunity to have on record a memory for those of you who were able to go. And I want to qualify and apologize in advance for some of the channeling, because as usual, I did the best that I could, and that's all I can do, but I was also very exhausted and giddy and excited, and so you can probably see that reflected in the channeling. So just be a little lenient with me, and I hope to see some of you at the next gathering around the country. So sit back and enjoy, and let me know what you think. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I guess I'll put this on here. Oh, everybody say hi.
Hi.
This is Michael Gathering February 2006. Atlanta. Okay, so what I like to do to get everybody sort of in the space is to, you know, take your three deep breaths and then, who sings? Laurel singing, maybe? I would love to do a group om type thing. Like, do seven of them, really good, strong ones, and then settle into it, and then I'll bring in Michael, and we'll see from there. I was thinking of directing the group towards, like, getting maybe an energy forecast or something like that for everybody. If you've never had one, maybe you'll find it interesting. If you like them, then that'll be fun for you. And I was thinking of asking Michael to talk about the dynamics of our group, like how our overleaves, because I really want to bring, one of the things that I think I focus on with my channeling with Michael and my work is bringing people back to the basics, because so many people are so eager for new stuff, and you know, and they've built on this really shaky foundation. And I want people to sort of learn what the overleaves are, like really get something out of that. So I'm going to see if we can get some insights from Michael and see if we can open up the floor to the questions and answers. But I want to qualify my session with the fact that I am exhausted and I was channeling all day and I feel pretty good. But be patient, because there might be pauses, it might be choppy, there might be a trailing thing that happens. So just sit there and look at me and don't snicker too loudly. Okay. So, who likes? Is she snickering already? Oh.
She wouldn't.
Oh, okay, good. Who? Can you set a note? Is there something specific that?
Well, it doesn't have to all be the same note.
Oh no! Yeah, exactly. Just make a step. Oh, when you do it, just sing. Don't worry about trying to match everybody else. Just let a noise come out. Well, not yet. I know. Warm up. Warm up. Just warm up. Okay, here we go. So breathe three times really deeply, and then we'll do an om. Okay? And you can close your eyes and feel it. But let it out. Don't restrict it. Just each one, pretend like you're just letting it more freely come out. And don't worry about how awful I sound. Okay? So breathe in. Okay, so take a deep breath and we'll let out our first om. Okay, even louder. Okay, one more. Really good one. Let it out. Yay. Some of you are really good. I feel bad. Sorry. Contributed to the mess. Okay, so everybody just relax. Do your own thing. Assume some sort of connection to Michael, whatever that means for you, and enjoy. All right. So I feel weird with that phone. Okay. It'll take me a few minutes to get in, and then they'll let you know when they're here, and we'll start.
Bear with us as we come through. Okay, hello to all of you. We are here, and we understand, based on Troy's request, that we will be speaking about what we refer to as an energy report, so that all of you can look forward to the next time frame, possibly described by the month of March, and what energies might be out there accumulating in patterns that you may be interacting with or within, and knowing what these patterns may be and how they may manifest can help you sometimes to make more conscious choices in how you interact with people, places, and events, and time, and so forth. The energy patterns that we describe are usually able to be described by the overleaf system, since the overleaf system is basically a description of energies, then we can look at patterns for a specific period of time, look at the momentum of that pattern, and be able to describe it within the context of an overleaf. Many of you are familiar with this through several of our channels. January through March is often when the goal that could be used as the description for the year ahead is emphasized, and this is a year that we've seen and we express through this channel as being the goal of acceptance. So each of you, regardless of your own personal overleaves and regardless of your own roles and other overleaves, will tend to find that your worldly experiences are being funneled into the experiences related to the goal of acceptance. You will see this in your personal lives, and you will also see this possibly manifesting in global events, issues of acceptance. This means that a lot of what will be brought to the surface are things that you don't like. This pattern we have seen for each of you on a personal level seems to be an emphasis this year in terms of acceptance, in your personal life emphasizing what you do like. On a global level, there are issues being emphasized about what you don't like as a collective species. So in your global events, you will be dealing with the contrast between what you would like to have that would make the world seem acceptable versus what is and how unacceptable that is, and finding a way to embrace that or transform it. So your world events are looking rather ugly at this time, and how you interact with that will tell you a lot about where you are in your own personal evolution. Within your personal lives, this energy of acceptance is showing up. Usually, what we've seen, most of you, are seeing this emphasized in terms of what you do like. You may have some fears that will block you before you actually experience what you like. But when you experience it, you'll realize that it was something that is beneficial to you. You may have had resistance to it, but when it's brought to the surface, there are definite interpretations that could be called acceptance or related to the issues of acceptance. So, in your interactions, intimately or socially, you will find issues of acceptance coming up. And in most cases, this means that you'll be meeting and running into a lot of strangers, not just staying within a familiar circle, because when issues of acceptance come up, it usually means drawing in some of the more difficult or strange elements so that you can stretch your experiences of accepting. Also, January through March is where you start to integrate and evaluate what you accomplished in the previous year. So the months of January through March, while you are implementing new goals for the year, you also integrate and digest what you've experienced in the previous year. So there will be a lot of reflection, and quite often this is done in the dream state, since in your daily life you'll be focusing on your implementing the new goals that you have planned, while your dream state will digest and assess the experiences from the previous year. So we wouldn't be surprised that as this time period, January through March, comes to a close, that March will find you having some strange and beautiful dreams, for some of you terrifying, or sensual dreams, to help you integrate what you've experienced in the previous year. We tell you this so that as you examine your dreams, you don't dismiss them upon awakening, but that you interpret them within a context that may apply to your previous year. As March progresses, you will be shifting into the emphasis of the mode for the year. And in this case, it appears to us to be passion mode. So be prepared, if you choose to find yourself catapulted into the world around you in ways that you may not be comfortable with if you are not comfortable with passion. But you will find yourself actualizing yourself in your environment from April, May, and during April, May, and June. But this may show up for some of you in March, since some of the older souls do not stick to timelines as much as others. As you are catapulted into your world, we just bring this to your attention because your being drawn into events is not an imposition. And if you interpret it as an imposition, you may find yourself losing the point. And this is important if you choose to pay attention to the weather or the energy around you, that your being drawn into experiences over through March and into June, that you see them not as impositions but invitations towards actualizing yourself And each of the experiences that you would initially interpret as impositions may be clues to what actually you need in order to bring you and your essence more into fulfillment. We will bring to your attention that we note for all of you here, and you, some of you may or may not be familiar with this terminology, you are at this point, starting on the 25th at around 5:30 or 6 o'clock this morning, entered into a nexus, what we refer to as a nexus, and this one is based on a convergence of parallels, energies merging together to form a new reality or a cohesive reality based on what was before separate energies or separate realities, however you would like to interpret that. So you may find yourselves, and this will last through the 28th, may find yourselves having very pivotal experiences based on your coming together here, taking away from this experience in meeting many of your cadre and entity mates, or at least fellow Michael students, taking away from this and bringing it into your life in a way that changes things for you. So this is a pivotal weekend, regardless of your gathering, and you may find things after this point making more sense to you in your personal life, simply because some of the elements that have been separate across space and time are finally coming together for you. Before we move into a topic that we would like to share with you, are there questions about the energy report? And any of you can just speak up and ask whatever you would like in that context. If there are no questions, we will describe a theme for March for each of you, in the same way that we can say, or a weatherman might say, that it will be cloudy or rainy or sunny. We would describe March as being a rather sunny month with a lot of exposure to some of the areas that you may not have wanted to see, but in March these will be exposed for your examination. So it will be sunny. It's not that it is negative that they're being exposed, but that there is light enough for you to see that some of the things that you normally wouldn't pay attention to as you finalize your integrations of the previous year and begin your new year and your new platforms. We would also describe, outside of weather analogies, that the month could be described as synchronistic. It appears to us that many of you have patterns that are coming into cohesion that may show up as very surprising synchronicities. So after March is complete, you may look back over it and find very interesting patterns that had to be in place for certain things to culminate. And it would do you well to give yourself comprehension of what is happening on other levels beyond how you try to control your daily life. When you look back over a period of time and see synchronicities that had to occur in order for certain results to be accomplished, and you did not consciously plan those, that is a way for you to acknowledge a multidimensional perspective of yourself, rather than thinking that you have to live your days trying to control it. Your essence is there as well, helping. Do you understand?
Yes.
So look back at March, or look forward to March, and see the synchronicities. This happens outside of the context of just March, but for some reason we see that this is emphasized in the weather, the energy. Are there any questions?
Why would this be emphasized at this point? Why would this be emphasized at this point?
we can look back over a period of patterns to see how it would culminate towards this, but there are many varied reasons why the patterns would culminate into this. We don't have a symbolic reason for it, but we see that the emphasis on synchronicity showing up for that particular month is simply because, and we're interpreting this weather, this energy, in a context specifically for our students. Other people may not see it as synchronicity, but miracles or accidents. But you can see it as synchronicities, and the reason why it appears to be emphasized is because many of you are ready. Many of you are long overdue in your acknowledgement of a multidimensional aspect of yourself. Many of you have intellectual concepts of this, but you don't see evidence of it. And March looks like a month where everybody that we can see here is looking for some evidence. Many of you are aware that you have a soul and you have an essence, and all of you as our students acknowledge these other levels. But it's sometimes difficult to see the evidence around you. You can have all the trust in the world that you have a soul, but how can you ever prove that to us or to yourselves? And one way to do that is by seeing the synchronicities that are difficult to explain away around you. And we see this emphasized in March because you will be moving. This is a year of acceptance, and that is a transitional point in the year where you will be focusing on passion as well. So having acknowledgement of these multi-dimensional levels of yourself is one way of emphasizing acceptance of those levels, and also a way to walk through into the experiences of self-actualization when the passion mode energy becomes emphasized. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. What we will do now, what we thought would be of benefit to our students, is to share with you another layer of understanding how your overleaves work, especially in group dynamics. Since you are in a group, we decided that this, based on Troy's invitation of topics, would be a great way for all of you to take from our interaction here and apply it in other situations as well. So what we'll share with you now is a way of looking at your overleaf system so that you can get more out of it and not just look at it as a static picture. The overleaf system is alive. It is not something that you toss aside like a horoscope or dismiss as quickly as a sun sign. Although those elements that would be described as astrology are quite valid, it's very easy to look at only the surface. And the same occurs with our system. Many of our students are guilty of looking at the surface of our teaching and building on it from there and never realizing that the foundation has not been established. Understanding how the overleaves work, understanding how they apply to you, and what they mean about you and your relationships is liberating, at least, and a strong foundation for all of the other extensions from within our teaching. Many of our channels build upon that shaky foundation with new information, with extensions of information to keep your interest, and we have no problem with that. Each of you have reasons for being interested, but we suggest going back to the basics occasionally so that you make sure your foundations are strong. So this may contribute to it. What we would like for you to see in terms of an overleaf system is how each of the sets of overleaves are emphasized within certain contexts, so that you can get more out of them in those contexts. For instance, any time that you are working on a project, and you could use that as your catchphrase, a project, any project-oriented event in which you share with another person, you are emphasizing between the two of you the overleaf that is described as the goal. All projects will emphasize the goal in a personality. If you are involved in projects and you are having difficulty between yourselves or among yourselves, look at the overleaf that is described as the goal for solutions to situations where the project has stalled or is blocked or needs to be ignited or rejuvenated. Now, we don't mean to imply that the goal is the only solution and that the other overleaves do not need to be taken into consideration. But looking to the goal will help you start finding a solution. In addition to this, how you are seeing each other in a group that is focused on a project is you are interacting with each other or seeing each other, interpreting each other through your goal. That is the facet of the self that is being presented, the goal. What this means in many instances where projects are being worked is that since the goal describes what you are trying to accomplish and not what you are, many times lack is emphasized when working in a project with other people. When the goal is emphasized among those in a group, you will also see the lack within an individual, within their capabilities, because their goal is being emphasized and there is a reason that it's called a goal. You will also see the strengths, of course, and that's obvious, but this will help you understand why you see their incompetence, their lack, their inability, and their flaws and failures, because they have not... The goal is not something that is accomplished. It is an ongoing state that is sought to be acquired. In social settings, such as yours, in this case, your Michael gathering, the attitudes become emphasized. Sometimes, when you are interacting with each other, you will actually be seeing the attitude of the individual, the facet of the self that can be described as the attitude, not necessarily seeing the role, not necessarily seeing any other overleaf, but that individual's presentation of his or her attitude. So if you are seeing or having a conversation, seeing another individual or holding a conversation, you are communicating through the attitudes. You are interacting through the attitudes. This is in social settings. When you are interacting within a setting that is more intimate, you will be utilizing your mode. In personal relationships, you emphasize your bond or build your bond through how your modes interact. Another dimension to consider, of course, are how the chief negative features fit in, because in all interactions, the chief negative features are quite likely to be a part of your experiences. In circumstances, we would like to back up for a moment to emphasize that though you have a habitual chief negative feature, all of you have access to all of them. In projects, you will find that there is a higher likelihood of martyrdom and impatience to be brought to the surface among the group, regardless of your individual chief negative features. You will also find that if you have those as your chief negative feature, you probably have a lot of impatience and martyrdom in contexts that require you to be focused on projects. The action axis, chief negative features, of course, backing up, will be the ones that are emphasized in projects. Your expression axis over leaves will be what are emphasized in social settings. If you're in a social setting, the expression axis, chief negative features are what will be brought to the surface in many instances among you. The inspirational axis will be where your chief negative features are emphasized in the realm of intimacy. Regardless of your chief negative features, it will be a likelihood that you can interpret some of your experiences through that knowledge, that certain contexts will bring out certain fears, which you then translate through your own chief negative feature. And looking to that within the system can help you find clues to solutions. On a purely individual basis and in relationship to yourself, you will find stubbornness or the assimilation axis to be where you are. You can find clues to where to go next with yourself and how you interpret, how you filter stubbornness through your own personal chief negative feature. Because the most likely place that you resist change is not outside in the world, but inside. The most likely place where you will notice repetition is in your processing of experiences and the assimilation of experiences. Therefore, stubbornness can quite easily represent how you deal with yourself in terms of fear and processing your own habitual fears. Before we move forward, are there any questions regarding what we've described so far? We are pleased that you are comprehending what we are conveying through the channel. And we say that without full knowledge that our experience of what it means to be pleased is different from yours. And this is not based on approval. What we will do now then, after we've given you a little bit more to consider in terms of your overleaf system, is take your questions randomly and do our best through this channel to respond to them in a way that is succinct. You may present your questions however you would like, and we will answer them as clearly as we can, if you have any. And most of our students do.
You were going to talk about us as a group?
Yes. When we look at your group, we see the dynamics differently than you do, because each of you are individually interacting with each other, and we do not have revelatory insight into why you are here or the purpose of your being together. Your purpose of being together is to be together, and each of you have done well in accomplishing this. What happens beyond that point can be described in the context of what we just described with the overleaf system. All of you here have brought your attitudes to the table. Depending on where you are with your attitude within yourself is how you are bringing it to the table or to the group. Looking around you and understanding each other in terms of attitude can shed a great deal of insight into how you are interacting with one another. Each of you are here, of course, because you are a part of what we describe as our students. Some of you will like each other, some of you won't. Some of you will bond immediately, some of you won't. There are many reasons for this. And the dynamics within your group are too vast for us to go into at this point without it being drawn out. But when we speak of you as a group, we speak of you as how you're interacting with each other in terms of your attitude. And we wanted to bring that out for each of you so that when you look back over your experiences of interaction, you can interpret it as to how attitude came into play. If you would like to at this point, each of you who know your overleaves can announce your attitude, sort of as a revealing process, how you understand your attitude, so that those who would like to can make note of your attitude and gain some perspective into the overleaf system. So we would suggest that each of you do this at this point.
Well, I'm a pragmatist.
Me too, Craig.
Spiritualist.
Idealist.
Idealist.
Slide to idealist.
Realist.
Skeptic.
Oh.
No, we have our best.
Well, I love this slide over here.
I don't
here.
Know.
Regina?
Cynic?
Yes.
Which is Brill.
Idealist.
We do not have elaborations on your group as some with a historical background. All of you know you have past lives together. All of you have a rich and varied history together. Of course. But we would emphasize that your bonding within your group that you have come to form is quite often not just based on historical references, but on who you are now and how you are using your overleaves. And it is very important not to relegate your sense of harmony with another person to some sort of past accumulation of experiences. Although that is there, it will do you well to acknowledge who you are now contributes to how you are getting along and how well you are bonded. It is important for you to recognize an individual beyond the present presentation of that individual. That is essence recognition, when you can see beyond the reference that is the physical body at this point. Recognizing that that person exists as a soul is one of the only forms of growth that we know that increases your evolution within a lifetime. Acknowledging the soul behind the manifestation of the personality. So we do not want to distract you from that process, but we do believe that the process can be heightened if you look at an individual as a person as well. And give yourselves credit for how you are opening up your overleaves in a way to other people and strangers, and we say that in quotes, and how well you are doing so. Next question, if there are any.
My chief negative feature was channeled as self-doubt by every channel I've ever talked to, and I agree with it. It seems to be getting milder and milder and milder, and another might be coming into its place. I was just wondering about some insight into that.
We will answer this, and we will state here that any personal questions may take a little bit of time to respond to within a group dynamic because of the process this channel uses in interacting. In your case, it appears to us that your chief negative feature is not being replaced so much as it is just simply transforming. Each of you can learn from the fact that the chief negative feature describes what you try to protect yourself from. It is not something that attacks you like a demon on your shoulder or something to get rid of. It is, in fact, a description of an energy that is natural that you feel is not and that you try to avoid. In your case, inadequacy with the self-deprecation. As you've grown to understand that sometimes you just will fall short. Sometimes you will fail. Sometimes you will be inadequate. You've grown to accept that that is a part of existence. And that is what is lightening the load of self-deprecation. Because you cannot protect yourself from those experiences. None of you can. Standards are relative. And you will fall short of someone's standards at some point in your life, including your own, which are probably the most difficult standards for most of you to accomplish. So it doesn't appear to us that you are replacing it as much as you are understanding that you just can't avoid all of those times you wish you were better than you are. And realizing that you are perfectly fine with that. Do you understand?
Very much so, and thank you.
Next question. You'll start to warm up as more questions come forth.
I have one, but it's going to be very broad, and it's not thought out, and I haven't got any piece of paper to make notes.
We are used to this.
So I have to try and quickly formulate it. My area of interest is understanding the different cultures, and I don't know if it's possible to put together overlays for cultures. So my concern is understanding the British culture versus the American culture versus the German culture. I'm sort of trying to think, hey, is it possible to put together sort of average overlays for these? And, you know, what is the difference between them? And what are the tensions? And this is not a really good question because I haven't thought it through. Shall I formulate it more clearly?
We understand what you are asking. We think through this channel. Yes, cultures can be described in terms of overlays. And there would be a difference in describing a culture as a set of overlays versus the average overleaf that is being manifested among the people who are alive in that culture. It is not always the average overleaf that describes how a culture shows up. And we would also state that describing the overleafs, how we see them, is different. In this case, if we were to describe, for instance, the United States or American culture from our perspective, it may be different from what we would describe it for the German culture, for instance, as a way to understand the American culture. Do you understand the nuances here?
No.
I didn't get that.
There are three basic ways that overlays show up for people. There are three different sets of overleaves each of you have. There are the true set of overleaves, and we say true only because they are consistent with or without your approval. Your true set of overleaves are what we find in the Akashic Records as indicating a description of what your essence used to design who you are. That would be what we call the true overleaves. The same could be said of cultures. We are looking at the true set of overleaves for a culture, and that insight can be gained from that. But there is also a set of overleaves for each of you that describes how other people see you. That set of overleaves is quite often what is collected by our channels, especially when it comes to celebrity and historical figures. That is the interpretation of a person. Then the other set of overleaves is how you wish other people would see you. There are three facets to consider when looking at a set of overleaves. And this is where some of the discrepancies come among our channels. Some of them do not specifically or directly go to the Akashic Records as a source for their overleaf system to describe you, but will instead describe your overleaves either in terms of how you wish you looked, and those can be quite lovely overleaves by your standards, or how you appear to look to those around you. So, using that as a way to clarify what we meant, there would be a true set of overleaves for the American culture versus how other cultures see the American culture, oh, yeah, and how Americans would like the culture to be portrayed. Knowing this, you can build a way of understanding not only each of you individually, but the different cultures. One of the first places to start in understanding a culture, of course, is the average soul age. That is the only specific overleaf that could be used as an average that does exist as a influence with or without all of the other quote-unquote stuff. So average soul ages are a great way for you to understand varying cultures and where the frictions come in. Other cultures outside of the American culture, for instance, are quite more involved in the mature soul levels of mature soul paradigms and all of the flaws that go along with it and failings, as well as all of the strengths, while the American culture is just shifting into a mature soul paradigm, while the young soul paradigm is kicking and screaming to stay in effect. So with that being said, with all of that being said, yes, you can interpret each culture as a set of overleaves and interpret it in different ways so that each interaction or each angle is understood. Now, are you asking what the overleaves would be?
Mm-hmm. What I'm asking is I'm trying to understand and compare and contrast US, Britain, Germany. Yes, soul age I'm pretty aware of, but also chief feature. You know, what is it that's going on here?
Greed.
Someone is paying attention.
Discriminations.
So, you would like the American chief negative feature versus British versus
German.
German.
Germany.
Yes.
True.
It is quite obvious to some of you that greed is a chief negative feature of the American overleaves, particularly in relation to other cultures. Other cultures will gladly describe the same. However, we would describe the true set of true chief negative feature as self-deprecation.
Yes, really.
The American culture, beyond those who are in positions of power, are quite sheepish and feel less than adequate to participate in the society, and quite painfully struggle to keep up with standards that are not capable of being reached.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Man, has this always been the case? I mean, since this inception of the you know, say, since 1776. Or is
no.
this a relatively recently developed chief feature?
Yes, these are not always the same
okay.
for a culture, because the energies that we would be describing are energies that morph and change okay. over time. And those contributing to the energy, of course, morph and change over time. The British culture, of course, would have arrogance.
Yeah. Surely not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And within the culture, we would describe it as stubbornness within the culture.
Yeah,
I think that makes sense too.
The German culture would be described from the outside as having martyrdom. Mm-hmm. And it's a quiet one at this point, but it is there. And within the culture, impatience. Mm. Yes.
That's the truth.
Within the culture, interacting within the culture, you may come across impatience. We would say that these are fairly quiet within the German culture. And we say German culture on a wide scale. Within the culture, there are cultures, of course. Within what you call the German culture, there are subcultures that will indicate different overleaves. But across the way, we would say martyrdom and impatience from within. Any other questions regarding that?
The impatience makes a total sense. The martyrdom, please give an example of how that would play out.
This, the German culture seems to have been forgotten. Although it's quite prominent, of course, and exists alongside all other cultures, it has become quiet. It has become forgotten, for lack of a better word. There is no real influence that is obvious from the German culture on the rest of the world. Therefore, it has taken to dealing with its own issues of infrastructure and interaction, which is what we would describe as isolating it from the rest of the world. And so when we describe the martyrdom from an external viewpoint toward the German culture, is that what's most Americans might see the German culture, however appreciative, may see it as a forgotten culture, as in an ineffective culture, as in a culture that's too busy dealing with its own problems to be of any importance outside of itself.
Is that part of the Nazi pain, processing all of that still?
Yeah. We would agree.
Yeah. Thank you.
Speaking as a German, a person of German extraction, I would have thought that the German national chief feature was arrogance. Deutschland über alles and all of that, they bought into that Hitler thing, and it's taken two world wars to humble them.
Yes. You could describe it in those terms as well, but you're describing in the same way that the American culture cannot be specifically defined by the Bush administration, so too could the German culture not be overall in this context that we interpret it as it being asked, be described by, for lack of a better phrase, a handful of people who implemented that dynamic. Do you understand?
Okay.
Arrogance, of course, sometimes is a solution for martyrdom. And on a scale of politics, arrogance can be pushed onto a culture so that the martyrdom can be alleviated. Concepts of what would bring a culture into arrogance is more appealing than being in a state of martyrdom to many, just by the nature of what arrogance means. Another question.
Thanks very much for that.
What we will do as a follow-up to that question, because you asked a question that would require a project, we will describe the three sets of overleaves for those three cultures and provide them for your group at another time so that you can see more specifically.
Thank you very much.
Those cultures.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I have a question. I know that all is choice, and so I can't, there is not something that could be a definitive prediction, but Osama bin Laden and his predictions of, you know, grand scale terrorist acts within the United States, what is the likelihood of that happening?
Is he dead or alive?
And is there something we can do, even on an individual scale, to lessen that likelihood?
Do all of you want a response to that question?
Sure.
No.
A good response would be nice.
We will simply respond to that question that, obviously, even from your own perspectives, you know that this is a high probability that there will be at least one more attack that can be attributed or will be attributed to the fragment you described as Osama bin Laden. And yes, we do believe the fragment is alive. The likelihood of this is high. And the reason for this, beyond the fact that all of the players involved will just simply do this, the reason for this is one more ingredient in the shift toward mature soul consciousness on American soil or within the United States. The more disasters or the more calamity or the more destruction that is imposed upon a culture, the more they get along, the more they pull together. And this is not the only way to go, but in a young soul culture that is fighting against a mature soul paradigm, quite often catalysts will come into the picture to help that dance toward mature soul perspectives. And this is a highly probable ingredient that is being attracted to the American culture, simply because on the other side of it, there may be more peace, there may be more intimacy, there may be less of the young soul oppression. It may not seem to be supportive of the mature soul paradigm to have something such as that happen, and it may seem that it will give a justification for the young souls to implement even more oppression as a form of control. But it will be very difficult to do so because those who are in power who are young souls, and we do not say this as a judgment in the same way that many of you might, but they are failing in their ability to maintain that control. And this will be one more event that will prove the incompetence and pull together the strengths of the people below those in authority. Because what has happened over time is the American culture has lost its footing in feeling it has any effect on what's happening outside of the personal life, outside of the personal realm. There's a disconnect between what is happening on the street, so to speak, and what is happening in politics, or what's happening outside of the American culture. So we describe this so that you will understand that if a terrorist attack were to occur, it is because it is part of the ingredients to bring more power to the average person, surprisingly and ironically. At this point, the probabilities stand at 67%, and we only offer that as a perspective from this exact moment that could change.
How would that affect the economy
Would there be some shift in how the culture looks at money when it makes this shift?
Yes, it will be very unlikely that within 50 years your system of exchange is recognizable. There is a progression away from physical individual management of money and moving toward a more digital measurement of money. And in that process, a blow to the American culture will be able to implement a different system in a way that can't be done in a transitional, smooth way.
Okay.
It could be, but no one is looking to figure that out. So as the world moves towards a shared currency, for instance, which we do see will be
good.
Implemented.
Good.
Some cultures will have to have a complete collapse before a rebuilding of that system is put into place. So it will affect it greatly.
Mm-hmm.
Next question.
I have noticed in my community, being in Florida in particular, that there was a whole lot of people who were in the hurricane last summer that have been displaced to a whole lot of different places around the country, and there is a ripple effect from that. And I was wondering if the Michaels would comment on the. I'm thinking that there's a real good chance it's a positive ripple from all these folks that have gone from Louisiana and Texas and all those areas and have been dispersed among the rest of us. And a lot of them are not going back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah, some may find a negative interpretation of this as it impacts individual systems or individual cities, individual groups as a burden. But it is not so at all. From what we can see, the impact as you interpret it appears to have a long-term effect of positivity in that those who are affected by such a, again, calamity or such a devastating experience are now splashed out into the American culture to have those within those individual proximities reaching out to help them. Most of them. Some of them are displaced and have individual karmic situations that may be being played out. But on the whole, those displaced individuals are in a position to help bring about a mature soul consciousness as well, because they are in need. And one of the movements, that one of the evolutions toward a mature soul paradigm, is not seeing need as a negative trait, but as an opportunity, and as an opportunity to share and exchange. The young soul paradigm saw need as something to push away and to ignore and to be seen as a flaw or a burden. Yes, as a lack. But now need will be seen as an opportunity for most.
What is the best way for old souls to work towards accommodation to the change to a mature soul environment?
Most of you who are old souls are old souls in your homes and old souls in your thoughts and in your hearts, so to speak. But it is quite impossible or quite difficult to be an old soul in the world because there is very little room for what it means to be an old soul in the world at this point. And so one of the things that you can do to contribute to the transition toward a mature soul paradigm is to acknowledge and embrace the mature soul experiences that you are pulling into your life so that you can use that as a form of interacting with those who are moving from young to mature. What we mean by this is that many of you think that being an old soul means that you're done, or it means that you put in your dues and it's time to go home, or that you shouldn't be feeling as much as you are, or that you shouldn't be a lot of things that other people are. You are those things, and living as an old soul in a young soul paradigm in most cases means that you are holding the energy of a mature soul paradigm. So that means that you will act like a mature soul quite often, because that is one of the only ways to truly relate to the world around you. So understanding that you're going to be emotional, you're going to be dramatic, you're going to interpret things sensitively and personally, does not negate the fact that you are an old soul. It simply means that you are playing the game. And as an old soul, you know how to do this. So we would suggest that you not see that disconnect or that distance between what you know is an old soul and how you actually show up in the world and interact as a problem. See it as your capability of being adaptable. Because part of your personal lessons in being an old soul is being able to be any soul age you want. So, yes.
Is this related to manifesting?
What?
Manifesting the soul age.
Yeah, manifesting old souls, then adapting to the mature soul level needs and understanding. Would that be called manifesting as a mature?
In most of our channels, the phrase manifested soul age is a soul age where you have reached, or that a soul age that you are limited to within certain context versus your technical soul age. Mm. So you may be stuck in a mature soul consciousness at some point because of an experience that you are going through and not able to access the old soul part of you. That would be a manifested soul age, something that means that you are exhibiting that without consciousness, mm-hmm. without necessarily meaning to.
Yes.
The old soul adaptability is quite conscious and aware of the fact that in the same way that an adult may stoop down to a child and play with a rattle or throw food or whatever else may need to be the medium of interaction with someone physically younger, it is the same when an old soul interacts with younger souls. There is a need for you to stoop down. And this does not mean that they are lower than you. We do not mean to imply that with our analogy. But it does mean that you sometimes have to bend a little.
Mm. Kind of like how you interrelate with us here in this particular avenue.
It could be described as that the only limitations we feel are in place are the capabilities of the channel, and many times that is more than what we expected. But it is, in a way, that at least many of you can interpret as being beneficial at the moment.
Thank you.
And to build upon that.
I'd like to ask if there is a word or a theme that we can take away from this experience. Not just curious through the year, but from the experience of being together for this.
As a form of interpreting it and integrating the experience?
Making it easier for all of us later.
A trigger.
That'll work.
Wouldn't it be different for each individual?
We agree. And in light of that, we would suggest, without pressure and without surprise, that whoever has a phrase that they immediately, spontaneously feel comes to the surface to embody this theme of your gathering, throw it out to others.
Joy.
consanguinity.
I didn't hear that.
Consanguinity, finding the commonality between us.
Intimacy.
Yes.
Joy, joy, joy.
Love.
Family.
Friendship. Mm.
Camaraderie.
Camaraderie.
Connectedness.
Acceptance.
Fellowship, acceptance, yes.
Peaceful excitement.
Whoa!
Connection.
Recognition.
If you were to describe your experience as a color, how would you describe it?
Yellow. Lavender's good too.
We offer that question up because it is more than just a word for some of you. And we would suggest not only a word to describe a way of reconnecting to this, but also a color and also a sound. Anything that has to do with the senses can be used to formulate a more spherical picture of your event and to recall it from there. This is something that you can do individually, and we agree that it is individual, although we could come up with something that may capture it. That would be because that's how we see it.
Please, okay. Please, please, please do.
How does Michael see it?
If we were to describe your gathering in terms of senses, one moment as we pull that together. We believe that the way we describe it may not be the way you would see it, and it is a good thing that you are individually describing your own, as we would describe this as a vibrating blue ball.
Vibrating blue ball.
Well, we could just call it the blue ball.
Right?
that's excellent.
I need the camera room.
Is she a friend of yours?
We will take one or two more questions before we conclude your group.
I would be interested in hearing if you have any comments about Cadre 2, and particularly Cadre 2, Entity 1, simply because we see more and more Cadre 2 people coming out. I see Cadre 2, 2, and 2, 4, and lots of 2, 7s coming out of the word, but very few 2, 1s. Are they simply not Michael students, or are we all so involved in our individual agendas, or are they all discarnate, or
elsewhere?
Yes, a great deal of them are not only distracted within this life, and they are students of ours. All of the cadre following ours, in terms of how we would describe the energy rings and so forth, the following energy ring is completely in agreement to be our students, so it would include Cadre 2, Entity 1. However, Cadre 2 is quite caught up in politics in the world, and in particular, Cadre 2, Entity 1, that is not what we would say is their defining element. More so, we would say that they are clearing away, as many of you know, Entity 1 fragments quite often do, and in this case, they're clearing away in terms of politics. A great many within Cadre 2 are involved in politics. Several of them are within the American politics as well as was suggested in Europe. So they are busy. And this having a lifetime that does not involve interaction with us or what has come to be known as the Michael teaching does not take away the status that we use to describe a fragment as being a student. There are many here in your lives, rather not here, but in your lives, who are quite intimate with you, who have no interest in our teaching, but are our students. And that does not mean that they want to do that in this life. In fact, many of you within your intimate circles tend to rotate who's going to take on the teachings for that lifetime so that you can implement some of the knowledge within your experiences. So in another life, it may be the person who is the most resistant to our teaching in this life may be the student in another life. And your job in this life, if you could describe it as such, was to help implement the teaching from your angle. We'll take one more question.
I would, on this theme of Cadre 2, it's been channeled, I don't know by whom, that Bill Clinton is a Cadre 2 entity too, but is it this Cadre 2?
Yes. Yes. Based on how we interpret your question, yes. It
Thank
is.
You.
There are other Cadre 2s and Entity 2s within other energy rings, but those fragments are a part of your Cadre 2, Entity 2, as you understand it.
Thank you.
Could I ask a relatively personal question?
We would never say no.
Well, it's personal to my family. My daughter, who is not overtly a Michael student, appears to have a special relationship with the actor John Ritter, who is now discarnate, because she saw him in a vision before he died, and they are now in the same business. She's in Hollywood trying to be a producer. Is that true, that there is a relationship there and that he is, in a way, has chosen to be discarnate so he can help her more specifically?
It does appear that that fragment is a part of what we describe as a support circle in not only the humor position, but the muse position.
Mm-hmm.
And, or rather, yes, the muse position. It is not so much the individual fragment, but the product of the life that will be the muse part of the relationship. And that is the part that is extending beyond his death, is the product of the life becomes what is inspiring for the individual who is your daughter. It is not so much that the spirit is involved or that the actual essence is involved, although it is, but not in the traditional sense you may interpret it, not in the sense that you would understand a guide.
Yeah.
But rather the impact of that fragment's life work is what will be a part of what influences her own creation of her own. Do you understand?
Yes, I think so. Thank you.
But he was a part, is a part of her the support circle. With that, we will conclude. And we realize that however timidly questions were asked, we know that there are many more, and we will get to those in other ways with you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Troy.
Any closing comments?
All these chompings.
Hi.
Chompings. Chomping.
Chomping.
People behind. People
along. Moving way closer then.
Cool.
Show you again. Love the